What happens if you live in McLean County, think you might have COVID-19, and want to get tested?
And then they said, unfortunately, at this point, the only people being tested are those that are in the ICU.
That's Lindsay O'Brien. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from listeners like you. Join the community of news consumers who listen to this podcast and are willing to support it financially. Contribute at WGLT.org.
It's Friday, March 27th. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now, let's lead off with those who suspect they or a loved one have COVID-19 getting frustrated with the lack of testing available in McLean County. Only 130 tests have been done so far locally. Lindsay O'Brien from Gridley has been sick for 9 days, including shortness of breath. She's been told she likely has COVID-19, but that tests are only available for those in intensive care.
The number of diagnosed cases in the county is, you know, staying pretty steady, but I don't know that that really depicts the reality of what's happening.
Denise Jones of Normal has the same concern. Her 20-year-old grandson, Nick Heron, has been sick for about 3 days. He's had a bad fever, chest pains, and is vomiting. He's been told he probably has COVID-19, too, but he hasn't officially been tested.
If people really knew how much this was affecting the Bloomington Normal area, we wouldn't have kids playing at the park behind where I live. We would have people staying indoors. We would be isolating, but we're not doing that because we don't know how bad this is.
Experts say there is still not nearly enough testing happening in the U.S. Even when people become sick, the federal government only recommends testing in limited circumstances. McLean County has now gone 3 days without a new confirmed COVID-19 case, even as the statewide total has more than doubled over that time. The County Health Department's Melissa Graven says while testing has slowly ramped up, many still can't get one.
I think it's probably the criteria in which we are kind of bound to for sending to Illinois Department of Public Health that at this point you have to be hospitalized with a respiratory issue.
McLean County has 8 COVID-19 cases. Illinois has topped 2,500. Bloomington Normal Hospitals say they've planned for surges that may demand desperate action to help people with COVID-19 symptoms. Dr. James Nevin is the medical director for Advocate Broman and Eureka Medical Centers.
We've erected an overflow tent outside the emergency department. It has air handlers and it's pretty sophisticated. We expect to have it up and running any day now.
At OSF St. Joseph Medical Center, medical director Dr. Paul Peterson says his hospital has contingency plans too.
To manage those patients as best we can, to cohort them into areas where we can manage them best within the hospital and allow for the safest places for them to be.
Both hospitals report normal absentee rates, indicating their workforce is healthy. Hospital occupancy is low from the stoppage of elected surgeries. Ventilator use is also low, but a national report puts Bloomington Normal far below average among cities in ventilator capacity for its population size. Find more on these stories, plus see our daily blog at wglt.org/coronavirus. And now WGLT's Charlie Schlenker has more with Dr. Paul Peterson, OSF St. Joseph Medical Center's medical director, and how they plan for a potential surge in cases.
We're not even anywhere close at this point to ventilator capacity. We have prepared for that, we've planned for that, and should that occur, we'll start activating those plans.
What are those plans?
To manage those patients as best we can, to cohort them into areas where we can manage them best within the hospital and allow for the safest places for them to be for both themselves and for our mission partners.
So how many ventilators do you have and how many are currently in use?
Oh gosh, I think we have 16 or 17 ventilators, I think. And, you know, there's going to be people coming in with other illnesses as well that will utilize those ventilators.
In a case where you're getting close to capacity, how do you decide who gets a ventilator? In some communities in other countries and in New York, they've had to triage. They've had to say, you know, this person is young, they have a better shot, this person is old, they might not. Those are tough choices to make. What are your pre-existing guidelines for that process?
So each of our hospitals has an ethics committee that can help those physicians in making some of those decisions and give them advice about that. OSF, as a ministry, as a large corporation or a healthcare corporation, is generating discussion about that. We had a call about that yesterday, as a matter of fact, for our ministry ethics committee to talk exactly about that and how we would go about developing those criteria.
What are some of the strands of thought that came out of that and realizing that the conversation is ongoing?
Sure. The development of, so to speak, a triage committee. Triage generally happens before all of that, before damage occurs, or after the damage, but before care starts. So it's a little inaccurate, but in many instances, the development of those of that group for each either region or facility is part and parcel of that. And the discussion about how we would go about that and what criteria we might use.
What are some of those criteria?
We don't have those yet.
Well, surely this is not entirely a new conversation.
The state of New York developed a criteria for ventilator allocation. We're looking at that, and that's fairly objective. And it identifies and stratifies people into likelihoods of survival, and therefore benefit from ventilation. We of course hope that we never ever get to that situation.
That's Dr. Paul Peterson speaking with Charlie Schlenker. Thanks for listening to WGLT's The Leadoff this morning. Support for this podcast comes from listeners like you. Contribute at WGLT.org.